A little over a month ago, as part of our occasional feature, Lost and Found Sound, we asked listeners to contribute to an audio project commemorating the life and history of the World Trade Center, what we're calling a sonic memorial. It's a collaboration by a team of independent producers in New York City and around the country, led by the Kitchen Sisters, WNYC, and NPR News. Jay Allison, our curator, tells us about some of the messages that have been coming in.
Thanks for calling the Lost and Found Sound Line here at NPR. This is Jay Allison. At this moment,
it started with our request to you, on the air and on our voicemail system, to leave us your stories, sounds, recordings, audio artifacts of the World Trade Center, both personal and historic.
We're still imagining what shape a sonic memorial will take on the radio, at the sites themselves, but we feel the material needs to be gathered and preserved now.
Since then, and still, hundreds of you have left testimony, stories, voices, music, the beginnings of a memorial. Many people called simply to describe what they remember of the sound of the Trade Center, the acoustic environment, which was the daily background to thousands of working lives.
Hi. I don't have any audio to offer you, but what I'm hoping you'll find from someone is the sound of the revolving doors in the World Trade Center. And it always struck me how they beat like heartbeats. There was this thump, 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 thump. And obviously on the West Coast, we really don't tend to have revolving doors. And it was so quintessentially New York to me. It was like this life beat.
Hi, I am a student in New York City. And I used to run all the time along the Hudson River Park. One of the sounds that I remember hearing as I ran by was the sound of all the restaurants in the World Financial Center that had tables outside in the courtyard, and the sound of all the voices and the clinking plates and silverware, and which reverberated off all the glass buildings. It created this kind of roar in the cove of the buildings that was louder than you would expect.
We're still looking for that sound, and if you know how we can get it, please call our voicemail number, which we'll give out in a moment. Other sounds of the towers are already coming in.
The Port Authority of New York and New Jersey welcomes you to the observation deck of the World Trade Center. We are traveling in a Otis elevator at a speed of 20 miles per hour. It takes approximately 58 seconds to reach the deck. And by looking at the panel above the door...
We are gathering the sounds of machinery and the systems of the towers, along with video and audio evidence of the astonishing feat of their construction, crowned by the observation deck and its view.
Please watch your step as you exit, and we hope you enjoy your visit to the observation deck.
You see two white cars down there?
Yeah.
Same color.
Yeah.
They're very close to this building.
One's a little bigger.
It's across the street. Two white cars next to a red car.
Yeah.
Yeah? Then the blue, light blue?
Yeah.
Then gray?
Yeah.
Then red?
Yeah.
Then yellow?
Wait a minute.
Then two gray?
Yeah.
Then a dark, little dark green car. That's next to my station wagon. The blue is the station wagon. Right next to
it. Oh, I see it.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the greatest bar here located at Windows on the World in the World Trade Center. My name is Ernie Scott.
I just have a memory of the World Trade Center. It was the only place that I've been to, the only place in the world where I've seen the sunset twice on the same day. At one of the towers, I don't remember which one it was, but we decided to watch the sunset from one floor, race to the elevators and up the building to a much higher floor and watch the sunset again over western New Jersey.
New York!
We're working with the sounds and stories of events held in the towers, concerts, bar mitzvahs, marriages, and celebrations like this New Year's Eve party, recorded in the ballroom of what was the Vista International Hotel in 1988. As with any memorial, consideration of the life of this place is tied to the fact of its passing. In that regard, dozens of poems and songs have found their way to us, all of them heartfelt. But one anonymous caller described the musical atmosphere of the buildings after hours.
At nighttime, when everybody was gone, you could hear the Mexican radios or the tapes listening as they worked, cleaning the place.
105.9 en Latinamix, más música, más variedad. Este sábado por la tarde en New York City.
So it is an American building. The people that cleaned it were mostly illegal aliens, people from Mexico and Central America. And a lot of the music, a lot of the sounds that this building had at nighttime came from these people. Maybe in one of your little remembrance there, you could put in a little bit of that music. And they're the Mexicans that came here and picked up your dirty work. They died with you guys. Help them out. Remember them. Thank you.
En ese tiempo de mis años inconscientes, viendo un alguien lastimador, se lo he pagado.
I just heard the NPR request for sounds. I actually don't have any. My comment is more in the nature of an editorial suggestion. I'm actually saddened and concerned at the emphasis around the World Trade Center. As horrific as that was, there was no mention about the Pentagon or the plane that went down in Pennsylvania. And my concern is that the families who were affected by those tragedies are at risk of being overlooked and forgotten.
Of course, memorializing the World Trade Center in no way diminishes what happened in Washington and Pennsylvania, and we're cataloging all the sounds that come into our voicemail about those tragedies. But the size of the disaster at the Twin Towers has an almost gravitational force, pulling the entire country toward it. People called our voicemail line simply to make some connection to the event at the Trade Towers, no matter how tenuous. People told us, for instance, that they knew someone who once worked there, and if he'd still been there, he might have been killed. Others called to say that they had lost loved ones to unrelated heart attacks on the same day and offered us their voices on tape. Their grief was subsumed in the larger national grief, but was no less vivid. The Trade Center represents an American commons of grief.
Good morning. My sound, I'll give you a little bit of it. It's it's about why is this happening to us?
Agnes of Virginia called simply to share a wail. Those keening notes left on a voicemail are evidence of the wish to share the sadness of the experience, and by sharing, to lessen it. We know that people in the news business do not tend to share their stories, their sources, their raw material. But several who have made documentaries or who have precious videotape and oral history of the towers have called us to contribute what they have. Here is a message from reporter Stephen Manning, who happened to be downtown that day.
I emerged from the Chambers Street subway at about 8:40, I think. I only walked about a block when I heard a deafening roar overhead and wheeled around, looked up, and saw the first jetliner plow into the Trade Center. I had my tape recorder with me because I was actually going uptown to do an interview later in the day. I turned it on. I raced towards the Twin Towers. I could already see panicked people pouring out of the doors, and I just started running. And then I heard what sounded to me like a sonic boom. It was one of the loudest sounds I've ever heard, and just started running, but maybe this would capture it a little better.
Oh, shit! Oh, my God! The whole building just fell down. The entire World Trade Center is collapsing.
When I finally listened to this tape, I was pretty shocked by it. And anyway, thank you.
Beverly Eckert called our voicemail and told us about her husband, Sean Rooney, and stories of their lives together, of the CD of music she made for his 50th birthday.
There were another song that was on the tape was We Gotta Get Out of This Place by the Animals. And it was something that Sean used to sing in high school with his friends, you know, just not wanting to be in high school, I guess, and not wanting to be in class. But the words right now have a very different meaning to me, considering he couldn't get out of the World Trade Center. I guess the song goes, "We got to get out of this place if it's the last thing we ever do." And then a song called "You Made Me So Very Happy" by the Blood, Sweat, and Tears. Blood, Sweat, and Tears, and that was kind of our song that we always, you know, it was our song. And the meaning it has for me now was that those were the almost the exact words we used when saying goodbye to each other on September 11th. Because, you know, he didn't make me so very happy, and I got a chance to tell him that. So...
Beverly Eckert told us more about her husband. She called back and spoke for quite a while, and she played music from their lives and sang. Indeed, most of the messages you left us congregated more around life than death. In the future, this is the raw material we'll work from to bring you the oral history of the place and the people there. Your calls spoke of the insistence of memory, of clamor and song, of the energetic hum of buildings, urgent whispered messages, the living vocal evidence of loving and grieving, all of it an antidote to silence.